It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Texas Attorney General says the Fort Worth School District's guidelines for transgender students violate state law. Ken Paxton says that policies announced last month by the district relegated parents to a subordinate status since they were created without their consent. It's a non-binding opinion. Fort Worth Superintendent Kent Scribner has said he's confident the guidelines are legal. The wide-ranging guidelines direct school staff to respect students' gender identity and make adjustments for their safety, like offering the use of a single-stall restroom or a bathroom where other students are not present. The school district told KERA this afternoon it would not comment on the attorney general's opinion. The McKinney Police Department says it wants to move past a high-profile incident last summer when a white officer tackled an unarmed black teenage girl at a neighborhood pool. Police want to foster a better relationship with the community, so they're holding public forums to hear from residents. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, at a forum last night, residents questioned how the department plans to move forward.
Dozens of McKinney residents approached the podium at the Old Settlers Recreation Center. The police chief was listening. So were other officers. Dejeria Becton was listening, too. She's a teenage girl who was pinned down by an officer last summer. She didn't speak, but her attorney, Kim Cole, did.
If I, as a citizen, took my own child, threw her to the ground, pulled her hair, put my knee in her back, and one knee on her neck, I would go to jail. When will the McKinney Police Department be held accountable for the law which they are sworn to enforce?
The community forum came a week after a Collin County grand jury decided not to indict former police officer Eric Casebolt for tackling Becton at a neighborhood pool party. He resigned shortly after the incident. Some teens and parents had criticized Casebolt, who was white, for an overzealous and aggressive response against black teens at the party. At the forum, Police Chief Greg Conley defended the department's response. It handed off the investigation to an independent party, the Texas Rangers, and Conley said his department was transparent.
I did not defend what he did. Whether that's criminal or not, grand juries decided. I'm looking at it from a policy perspective. We have solid policies in place. It's just what we have to assure is that all of our practices meet those policies.
Conley said he's working to improve community relations. He's doubling down on training and implementing new outreach programs. Those include community events that connect residents with police officers, neighborhood patrols, and a school resource officer program. He also touted his chief advisory council, made up of community leaders, who talk with officers about how to be sensitive to residents' concerns. Conley said he wants to make sure what happened last summer at the pool doesn't happen again.
No one instance defines a police department, but it has certainly been a watershed moment for us. And hopefully what it's done is to help bring us a little bit closer together. That's our goal, that's our desire, is that you feel closer and that your police department is more in tune with what's going on and that we truly are here to serve you, to protect you.
Many at the forum, though, are still upset. Pastor Larry Jager says he hopes the criminal justice system recognizes what role race plays in policing.
If it had been an African-American officer attacking a Caucasian female, what would have been the decision of the grand jury? Or to put it in more perspective, what would have been the conclusion if it had been an officer, regardless of color, attacking an animal?
McKinney residents like Jager's say it'll take more than words from Chief Conley to build confidence in the police department. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Legendary college basketball coach Pat Summitt died today, 5 years after she was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's type dementia. She was 64 years old. The majority of people with Alzheimer's are 65 and older. Today on Think, Alzheimer's researcher David Bennett talked with Lauren Silverman about how stimulating the brain can slow the disease.
We know, for example, that education is strongly related to better health and longer life. So you can think about things that are related to education and what I call experiential factors, things that you can do in your life, things that you can engage in that might be protective. And so we've measured things like cognitive activity throughout the lifespan, physical activity, social activity, and engaging in those kinds of activities will slow your trajectory of loss of cognition. The more education you have, the less likely any given amount of pathology that you have in the brain is going to cause memory loss.
David Bennett is the director of the Rush Alzheimer's Disease Center in Chicago. His story, Banking Against Alzheimer's, appears in the July issue of Scientific American. This episode of Think reairs tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, why geography matters when it comes to getting that first job. A new Wallet Hub study ranks the best and worst cities for starting a career, and Texas towns are all over the top 25. Courtney Collins breaks down the rankings with analyst Jill Gonzalez.
Jill Gonzalez, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What actually makes a city good when it comes to starting a career? What did researchers evaluate in the study?
We evaluated quite a lot of metrics, 17 in all. They fell into two distinct categories: professional opportunities, the job opportunities available, the unemployment rate, the economic mobility and income growth rate, and then the quality of life. You know, this is starting a career, setting down roots, possibly even starting a family. So we looked at income, the strength of social ties, the housing affordability, and the projected population growth.
Can you distinguish between starting a career and just getting a job?
That's really where this quality of life category comes into play. It's not just looking for a job and focusing in on maybe the salary, the starting salary, but it's looking for those professional opportunities and really laying down some roots in a specific city where you think that your career is going to grow and prosper and hopefully stay for at least 3 to 5 years.
When you look at the top 25 cities for starting a career, Texas towns are really all over the list. In North Texas alone, Irving, Dallas, Plano, and Fort Worth all made the cut. What stands out about the Lone Star State?
Our study here definitely uncovered a lot of areas where Texas is booming. So first of all, there's huge corporations there, a lot of entry-level jobs, and there's room for those jobs to grow not only into that corporation and kind of get going up the ladder here, but also your income, your wages are really having a likelihood to evolve as well. And as we all know, not every state can really boast that. We've seen a lot of wage stagnation over the years. It's finally slowly but surely increasing. It has been increasing in Texas for some time now.
According to this report, Houston has the highest starting salaries in the country and Dallas the fourth highest, and that's even when adjusting for cost of living. How much are new employees actually making, do we know?
We're just looking at the monthly starting salaries here, and compared to many other places, very high. Dallas was fourth best. That's looking at $3,300 monthly. Houston, more like $3,700 monthly, number one in the country.
The city of Plano was actually ranked second best for affordable housing. How affordable are we talking?
We looked at this multiple ways. The first was comparing the median household annual income, which is really surpasses $80,000 per year, comparing that to the median house price. Most cities, you can guess that that's about 10% of what your whole house is going to cost you. In Plano, it's more like 40%. And then the second way we looked at this was comparing the annual income to monthly rent for a two-bedroom apartment, where the only town in America that beat it was Gilbert, Arizona.
How much does city actually matter when it comes to starting a career or beginning an entry-level job?
Your first job, of course, matters, but your first city can really help you improve upon that for the rest of your life, give you that solid foundation. So you want to make sure that there's room for growth. You want to make sure that the wages have been steadily increasing within a certain city or metro area. And finally, if you are planning to be there for a long time, you want to make sure it's livable, that 50% of your paycheck or more each month isn't going to just housing.
Jill Gonzalez, analyst for Wallet Hub, thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Partly cloudy skies expected this evening with a low around 75. Tomorrow, sunny, high near 97. It's currently 93 degrees in Dallas, 97 in Fort Worth. At 6:30, this is KERA News.